Okay, so just a reminder that we've muted all the lines. So during the course of the webinar, we encourage you to use the chat box if you have questions. For those of you logged on to the webinar, on the left-hand side of the screen, you'll see the chat box in the lower left corner. This chat box is public, so just a reminder that if you, whatever you write in the chat box will be viewable to all of the participants on the webinar today. During the webinar, we'll be pausing throughout to take questions. But please feel free to enter any questions throughout in the chat box, and we'll try to answer as many questions as we can. There will also be some time for questions and answers at the end of the webinar today. Okay, so I'd like to present our first presenter. Dr. Sean O'Connor is a recognized expert in the monitoring and surveillance of tobacco control outcomes and tobacco industry activities. In recent years, Sean's research has focused on the cigarette pack as a communications vehicle, with an emphasis on exploring package design elements that connote perceived strength and lifestyle messaging, including gender and luxury. Sean has led the development of innovative web-based data portals designed to enhance the use and adoption of risk factor indicators by public health stakeholders. So I'd also like, we have two presenters today, so I'd like to introduce our other presenter. So our second presenter is Mohanad Malik. Mohanad is a Master's of Public Health student and CIHR Fellow in Public Health Policy at University of Toronto. He has worked at the Ontario Tobacco Research Unit, Ontario's Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care, and public health policy research relating to tobacco packaging, taxation, and alcohol. So I'll turn it over to our presenters.
Great. This is Sean speaking first, so welcome. So the topic today, as folks know, is on a cigar packaging. This initiative was a part of a larger project called the Chatterbox Project, which included analyzing cigarette packaging as well. So I just wanted to give a brief overview of the Chatterbox Project and what we were doing, and we'll feed into the cigar portion of the presentation, which will be presented by Mohanad. So the Chatterbox Project was really looking at tobacco products, in particular cigarette and cigar packaging. And we were really trying to understand, you know, what makes these products attractive to consumers and how the industry is really promoting their product through the design elements on the package. As folks know, the package is really one of the last vehicles for communication in Canada, with regulations prohibiting point of sale and a number of other avenues for marketing, like TV and so forth. So it was an in-depth exploration of the packaging. We were particularly interested in kind of the thematic content on the pack in terms of promotion. And we looked at lifestyle, including gendered packs, male, masculine, feminine. We looked at luxury packs, and a whole host of other themes popped up from that analysis. Another aspect of packs we looked at was strength, like how are the packs conveying kind of relative strength to each other, which gets that healthiness and kind of how consumers may view one or another pack as a healthy alternative to another pack. So the lens that we took for this analysis, including the cigar portion coming up with semiotics, was really just the study of meaning. And really it's a little bit of a detective hunt on the packaging, just to find out, you know, what are the design elements that are being used and what function they serve. So this slide is just kind of demonstrating that we did do semiotic analysis, but we had certain assertions about packs that we made in our various reports and presentations. And these are supported by tobacco industry document analysis. We looked at market research, the scientific literature, and we even looked at trademark databases just to kind of triangulate some of the conclusions we're making about the pack. So in the presentation today, it's highly visual, and because it's a presentation, we don't always have the space or the time to document extensively some of the support for some of the assertions, but I just wanted to throw this slide up that, the full report does have more documentation that's not possible given the format of the current presentation. some of the design elements we looked at, I'm not going to read these, but we, you know, when looking at the pack, we looked at textual, visual, and the physical components of the pack. And for each of these, we looked at what function they're serving, right, in the promotion of packaging. So here's an example of a pack. And one thing I wanted to mention is that we have talked to tobacco industry insiders, and we've, you know, even some folks that actually have worked on pack design, and they've told us that as part of their job, that every single thing you see on a pack, whether it's this pack or any other pack, is there for a reason. So the companies make decisions about every design element on the pack, and it serves a function. We may not always know what that function is, but everything we see on these packs, whether it's a cigar pack, a smokeless tin, or a cigarette package, they serve some sort of function. And what we're arguing, it's to convey, you know, lifestyle promotion, strength, and a whole host of other kind of promotional or marketing activities. So if folks could just take a quick look at this pack and just kind of see, you know, what they see and what they think of, which, you know, which lifestyle segments or which consumers might be interested in this pack, and what design elements might convey some of that information. And I'm going to move now just to, you know, this slide. And we're not going to get into this in any great detail, but just to show you that, like I said, each of the design elements conveys some sort of a message. And whether it's the foil on the inside of the pack, which is pinstripe with connotations of, you know, pinstripe suits, which has connotations of luxury and banking and everything else, which is reinforced by the coat of arms and the monograms. The brand name, Benson & Hedges, is a very prestigious name. The sub-brand name, Deluxe, and we have the Sapphire. So all these things contribute and reinforce the notion this pack is a luxury pack geared to a segment of the population that may be concerned with luxury products. And so with that, I'm going to pass it over to Mahanit to speak about little cigar packs. Before we do, I'll just ask if there's any kind of, well, I guess we don't have voice, so maybe I'll hold for questions now. But that's the kind of a general overview of the Chatterbox project. This particular piece coming up is focused on the cigar package.
Thanks, Sean. So hi, everyone. This is Mohanad, and thanks for joining us this morning. So I'll be going through the next section of this presentation. First, I will talk about the industry's response to the regulation, particularly Bill C-32, and then I'll go through some examples of the different packs that we analyzed and the findings of our study. And then I'll hand it back to Sean, who will talk about what this all means in terms of policy implications when it comes to cigar packaging. So Bill C-32, which was enacted in 2009, introduced amendments to the Federal Tobacco Act, and in those amendments, a little cigar product was redefined to be a cigar that has a cigarette filter or weighs no more than 1.4 grams. Also, in the same amendment, little cigars or flavors in little cigars were banned, with the exception of menthols. And little cigars, as of 2000, I think the Act came into effect 2010, so as of 2010, cannot be sold in packs containing less than 20 individual little cigars. And this is just this slide just shows both the Federal Tobacco Act and the Provincial Smoke-Free Ontario Act, which also introduced amendments that mirrored the changes in the Federal Tobacco Act. And the definitions are very similar. The only difference is the Provincial Act talks about little cigars refers to little cigars as cigarillos, while in the Federal Act, they're referred to as little cigars. And now we have a polling question. So here we would like to get your input. This one is going to be, so there's going to be a number of choices, and you will choose one of those choices. And if you take a look at these different packs that we have here, the question is, which packs do you think were purchased after the Bill C-32 regulations came into effect?
Okay, so we're just going to be posting a poll. So if you can try to remember which one you think it is, the polling options will be numbered. So we'll just post the poll up. Okay, so the poll's live, so you can go ahead and select which option you think. You think it's cigarette package number 1, 2, 3, or 4, all of the packs or none of the packs. Okay. Just give it a few more seconds. Still a few coming in. How'd they do?
So great. So the majority of folks voted for option number 5, which is all of these packs, and that's correct. So all of these packs were purchased after the regulations came into effect. And this is significant because it shows how these packs still look like the kind of products that we saw in the market before the regulations. And also, what's interesting is the differences in these packs. So if you take a look at the first two packs, they're labeled as mini cigarillos. The third and fourth pack, they're labeled as cigars. All of them are available in flavors, not just menthol, but grape, cherry. So even though flavors are banned in little cigars, we still continue to see these products on the market that resemble little cigars, and in most cases have the same size as the same products that were available before the regulations, and they're continuing to be sold in different flavors and variety of packs. So this slide shows just a particular example of how the industry responded to the regulations. So companies introduced minor modifications in the structure of the cigar and the pack itself. So this is an example of the M Mini by Colts pack. Well, it was called Mini by Colts, but now, as you can see, the brand has moved to M by Colts. So just eliminated the word Mini while keeping the logo and keeping the design theme. The pack is a little bit longer. The cigar is a little bit thicker. But generally, this is not something that the consumer would feel as much of a difference. But this is just so that this pack can become compliant under the new regulations and can be continued to be sold. And also, you notice that there's a little bit of a rebranding, so the flavors have changed, and there's many other packs show similar trends, and we'll go through them in more detail. In this slide, you're looking at two advertisements from the Your Convenience Manager retailer magazine that's distributed to convenience stores and other retailers that sell tobacco products and cigars. The ad on the left is an ad, I think, from just before the regulations came into effect, and this one shows a pack of Primetime cigarillos. It's labeled as cigarillos. The cigar is filtered, and then on the right side, you see a new poster promoting the new product, which looks exactly the same with the exception of the pack is now referred to as cigar, and the filter is no longer existent, but it is replaced by a paper tip. So in a way, it looks the same, but it's not really filtered. It just looks like a paper tip. And then if you look at the text on top above the packs, this new brand is promoted to have an all-natural filtration, superior flavor delivery, and the Bullseye Extra also changed the brand and included the new descriptor Extra on it. And this is important because the regulations did not specify that these products should be labeled as cigarillos or cigars. It just merely specified that little cigars cannot be flavored, and little cigars weigh less than 1.4 grams or are filtered. So companies can still label them with whatever names or categories they want. And this is another ad from the same magazine, and this is about the Colts brand. Same thing. You can see how the size of the cigar has changed, but it's still promoted to have the same taste and as compliant. And I just want to pause here for a few moments to see if folks have any questions that we'd be happy to answer.
Sure. So one of the questions that came in is the PowerPoint available in French for slide number 11? They're interested in sending this graphic to their elected officials.
Yeah, it's currently not available in French, but we're happy to correspond with you after the presentation, see if we can come up with something.
Are there any other questions at this time?
So we have one question about whether Bill C-32 forbid calling little cigars cigarillos, and I just touched on that in a previous slide. So these regulations do not specify that little cigars cannot be called cigarillos or the other way around. So there's a confusion in the market about what's a cigarillo, what's a little cigar. And we saw that when we went to purchase those packs and speaking to the different stores and retailers. When you ask for a cigarillo, you're offered a little cigar pack or a cigar pack. From our analysis, we can see that the industry is taking advantage of that confusion.
It's Sean here. I'll answer the next question. Where would one find these ads? So the majority of these ads are coming from the Your Convenience Manager, which is a retail trade magazine that is typically for wholesalers and store owners or store retail owners. Just as an FYI, we do have a number of these ads, and we're happy to share them. And we may be in contact with some folks maybe that are signed on to this presentation to see if they would like to get on some of our social media to get an update on new ads that are coming out and new product launches, so we can follow up with folks on that. I'll turn it back to Mohana.
Okay, so now we're going to move to some of the findings from our analysis, and I think we have a polling question next. Right, so we have another polling question here, but this time it's going to be a little bit different. This is an open-ended question, and we would like you to write your answers in the chat box, and then we will sort of collect those answers. So the question is, what potential themes characterize the Bullseye Extra Cigar Pack? And if you just remember the section that Sean presented at the beginning and the different themes that you see in a pack, from luxury to gender to relative strength, and there's a lot of different other themes that you could see in a pack. So we would like you to sort of just give us your opinion on what themes you think this pack presents in its design.
So just a reminder, I see there's two coming in now. The chat box, to enter in the chat box, just hover your mouse in the little box in the bottom left corner. And then, if you could just type in a word or a few words that characterizes the theme. We'll just give it another 30 seconds.
Okay, great. So we got a lot of different themes, and this is great because there isn't one right answer. One pack with the same design elements and the way those design elements interact can convey different themes. So here, just to summarize, some of the themes that were suggested by folks were sports, candy, strength, leisure, youth, summer, fun masculinity, smoking in pubs and playing darts. So these are all great themes, and what's interesting is how some of these themes sort of so candy, leisure, summer, sports. These are themes that all appeal to certain segments in the smoker population. So for example, sports would appeal to the younger youth-oriented consumer. Also, summer, beach, and fun. These are all different themes that also appeal to the same segment. And we're going to get into a more detailed analysis of this pack shortly. Right, so this is the brand family of Bullseye Extra. As you can see, there's multiple colors. And one of the themes that strikes me when I look at this pack is the candy-like flavors. So as you can see, these packs resemble products that are popular among youth and young adults, so gum packs, candy packs. The colors that are used from orange, purple, red, all convey a meaning of flavor. So as you can, if you look at the packs on the left side, peach is colored with a bright orange, strawberry a bright red, grape and a purple color, and then vanilla more of a cream color. So these are all sort of match the flavors of the pack. And what's interesting is if you open the pack, you immediately get a scent that also matches the flavor. So the strawberry pack has a strawberry scent, and it's fairly strong. And that also sort of works with the colors and the flavors to convey that candy-like flavor theme. And just to sort of emphasize how these design elements interact to not just convey flavor theme, but also to convey other themes such as youthfulness, such as healthfulness. So relative strength is something that was suggested by folks. If you look at the colors here, you can see a gradient of different colors from the dark red to the bright orange, and these could convey meanings of relative strength or mildness. So one pack could look milder than the other. And this is another brand family, the Primetime Plus brand family. Very similar in the way they utilize the design elements to convey candy-like flavors. And on the bottom, I have a quote from a tobacco industry document that says, "Apples connote goodness and freshness, and we see many possibilities for our youth-oriented cigarettes with this flavor. Apple cider is also a possibility. It's a well-known fact that teenagers like sweet products, honey might be considered." So this supports how one theme how design elements on one pack can convey multiple themes, and that on the same pack there are cross-cutting themes that work together to appeal to a certain consumer segment. And this is from this Primetime website promoting their product. If you can see, the Primetime Plus pack has these fresh fruits that are sort of almost exploding in the pack, which conveys that meaning that this pack is full of flavor. And then the banner on the top left corner also shows or promotes the strawberry pack, and it shows a couple in a romantic setting having a strawberry, I guess conveying that they would smoke strawberry cigars, and also the images of strawberries on the left, which conveys that meaning of freshness and healthfulness. And this is from the Primetime website company. So candy-like flavors are not the only flavor themes that we found in our analysis. So there's other flavors such as coffee, whiskey, and black cherry. And these will also be discussed in more detail in other sections or other themes in the presentation. But as you can see, the design elements interact on the first pack on the left to convey that cafe mocha flavor, so the brown color, the image of the cigar, and then the Colt's whiskey, you have the graphic image of ears of barley, and then the color of yellow or caramel. So now I think this is a good segue to the next theme that emerged in our analysis, and that's youthfulness. So we already saw how packs can convey youthfulness just from their flavor themes. This is a slide that's showing two ads from the Your Convenience magazine, which is a retailer trade magazine, as Sean mentioned. And here you can see the one on the left promoting the M-Bicolt brand family. And the poster is utilizing different design elements that convey that youthfulness meaning. So the use of the urban skyline, the textual message capture the new generation. On the bottom, the new generation of flavors appealing to a new generation of smokers. And then on the left, on the right side, we have a poster for Primetime and Bullseye Extra packs. Again, using similar text, the next generation of flavor, and then also promoting that they're available in multiple flavors that appeal to youth, as we discussed earlier. So the flavors on the left, we have a question: what are the flavors of the cigars on the left? And these flavors are espresso-based flavors. So we have cafe latte on the blue pack, cream, which is not necessarily an espresso-based beverage, but it's a topping that's used or an ingredient that's used in espresso-based beverages. And then cafe mocha, which is also an espresso-based beverage. And just highlighting how the Primetime and Bullseye Extra packs are promoted as 100% C32 compliant, all natural filtration, superior flavor delivery, and also inside the packs, there's often these messages talking about that natural filtration and new flavor delivery that are just superior than the previous pack. So there's another question about, we'll get to that question in a later section of this presentation. So this slide shows one connotation of youthfulness. So here, the Bullseye Extra pack, in its fun, playful, flavorful appeal, it kind of conveys this or it sort of works to promote this pack to more the younger consumer, maybe teenage consumers. As you can see, there's a lot of cultural associations with the design elements sort of look like different products or have cultural associations with cartoon themes. So the Tiny Toon Adventures theme looks like the logo of the Bullseye Extra, the logo of the Bullseye Extra pack, and the way the text is sort of aligned on top of the Bullseye logo is very similar to the way the Tiny Toon Adventures theme is designed. The colors, you know, look like candy colors. We already talked about how this pack conveys meaning of playing sports and playing darts, maybe in a pub or with friends. So that's one connotative chain of youthfulness. And here we have different packs that convey youthfulness, but in this case, youthfulness here is something that's more related to a modern pack, something that's technologically advanced, just the use of different design elements that convey that this product is modern and resembling different products that are popular among the younger adults. So if you look at the bottom left pack, this cold smooth taste rum and wine flavor looks like the Coke Zero can, and then the smooth taste sweets pack on the right side looks like the Bailey's alcoholic beverage. And we have the M-Bicolt white pack, which also resembles popular devices such as the iPhone and the BlackBerry, which are popular among the youth-oriented consumer group. The use of the background of something that resembles a skyline on the M-Bicolt and also resembles the sort of metallic texture or metallic finish of the iPhone. And on the bottom, I have a quote from a cigar company executive that says, the fourth group of smokers are the millennials. These are younger consumers, mostly males, who are obsessed with technology, fascinated by travel, and want to tap into new products for the next generation. And again, this is another example of how these packs resemble products that are popular among the young consumer. So the metallic finish on the M-Bicolt pack, the wrapper of the cigar, is very similar to the way the Wrigley 5 gum pack is designed and the wrapper, the metallic wrapper of the individual gum. And we've done some gum market research to look at the way the Wrigley gum, the Wrigley 5 gum brand is promoted, and these design elements are all used for a purpose, and that's to appeal to young adults and perhaps teenager consumers. So just looking at the way the M-Bike Colt resembles the design of the Wrigley 5 gum, we can assume that similar design elements are used for the same purpose. These images are taken from the Swisher Town or Swisher.com website. Swisher is a popular cigar brand. And if you go on that website, it's really interesting how the design of the website sort of gives you this interactive experience where you would go into different sections in the town. So one section sort of promotes that lifestyle of lounging and clubbing. As you can see on the top left, in the top left picture, you see a group of young adults in a bar or in a club. And then on the right bottom side, you see another sort of section in that website that takes you into a sports arena with a racetrack. And these are themes that appear to youth and young adults. And this is also sort of going into promoting cigar smoking as something that you would do in a social setting, maybe while playing sports, maybe, well, not while playing sports, but in your sports club or in your activities, and something that you would do in a setting like a club or a lounge while drinking alcohol. And there's a lot of literature that shows the link between smoking cigars and alcohol and social activity, and we've explored that further in the report. So another important theme that emerged is helpfulness, and we already touched on this a little bit in the previous slides, but here we're going to talk about it in more depth. So the Primetime Little Cigars Peach was promoted on the Primetime website, and here you can see the use of images such as fresh peaches. There's a graphic of a lady baking a fresh pie, an image of a female person eating a fresh pie, and perhaps here there's a link between healthfulness and gender. So products that look healthier, that look milder, can appeal to the female consumer. And each one of these flavors had a different theme and a different banner, and it was really interesting to see how each flavor sort of was targeted at a different consumer group. And this slide shows a number of cigar packs and how there are multiple design elements on each of those cigar packs that convey the meaning of healthfulness. So there's the tipping on pretty much all of these packs have either a paper tip or a plastic tip. And as I mentioned earlier, these packs are no longer filtered, but they replace the filter with just a plastic tip or a filter tip to show that perhaps this is lighter or milder, even though there's no filtration. So it's just that perception of filtration that's important. And also often there are messages included in the pack that talk about the natural filtration technology that's being used in those products. Other design elements such as the graphic images from the bunch of grapes to the ears of barley, the tobacco leaves, these all connote freshness and healthiness. And then what's interesting on the Old Port pack is you see there's a almost what looks like a stamp with a farm, and that sort of resembles the kind of stamps that you would see on organic products or local food products. So alcohol culture is also another important theme that emerged from our findings, and this is a theme that sort of is cross-cutting with flavor. So the flavor of the packs, as you can see here, rum and wine, rum, whiskey, these are all convey that alcohol culture theme. But in addition to the flavors, you can see the colors of these packs also connote alcohol beverages. So rum and wine uses this dark, deep red color, and semiotic studies sort of showed how that color is not only associated with a stronger product, but also associated with flavors of wine and flavors and a luxury lifestyle that goes with the alcohol culture. And then whiskey uses accents of caramel or yellow. And then Old Port also similarly uses a dark, deep red color to connote rum and wine. And what's interesting is also the images of the cigars on the packs, because cigar smoking goes hand in hand with alcohol culture. Just having that cigar image on the pack can also support and emphasize the alcohol culture theme of the pack. And again, these are images from the Primetime website. As you can see, you have the Happy Hour brand, which is also a brand, a Primetime brand that's produced by the same company. You can see a group of young adults having fun playing pool, also in a sort of bar or lounge setting. In the bottom, it's clearly the people in that banner sitting in a bar. You can see the alcohol in the background. And then on the left side, the message also supports that alcohol culture. So Club PT is open. All that's missing is you. So these are all sort of work together to convey that alcohol culture meaning, which also is cross-cutting with themes of luxury, themes of youthfulness, flavor. And this is interesting because just the same pack with the same design elements interact in different ways to sort of connote different themes that support each other to promote the brand among a certain consumer segment. So just to go into the Happy Hour brand in more detail, Happy Hour, when we were doing our research and when we purchased the packs, this could not be found in the market in Ontario, but this is available in the U.S., and it is trademarked in Canada, so we could see this in the market soon, or maybe it's already in the market. And what's interesting about this pack specifically is how the design of the pack is conveying that alcohol culture that sort of appeals to the female consumer. So if you look at the banner, just having images of younger women dancing in a club or just having a martini. The website also promotes these. The packs have different flavors, and these flavors are flavors of different martini or alcoholic beverages. So Appletini is one flavor, Cosmo, Bellini, and Pina Colada. And the website also provides a guidelines on how you can make those sort of drinks or get those flavors by mixing different alcoholic beverages. And in this particular slide, you can, if you look at the text, I'm not sure if you can read it, but it says, the drink that Carrie Bradshaw made famous, and that Carrie Bradshaw is the actress from Sex and the City, which is a hit show, and it's very popular among the female sort of segment. And then if you look at the image of the martini glass, it also resembles a skinny figure that could also appeal visually to female consumers. Okay, so we have another polling question here, and it's very similar to the one that we just did a few minutes ago, but this one is looking at a different pack. And we would like you again to tell us what potential themes characterize the M by Cole Screen cigar package. So I've already hinted at some of those themes, but I'm interested to see what else comes out. So I'll give you a few seconds to just type in your answers in the chat box window. Okay, so this is great. Thank you for your input. I think some of the themes that came out are really interesting. My favorite is the orange creamsicle, which I did not really think about, but it definitely works if you look at the pack. And there's also a number of different themes that came out. A few of them basically are similar to the theme that we identified as the major theme connoted by this design of the pack, and that's the coffee culture theme. So some folks suggested Starbucks goes with coffee, sweet, light, and these are definitely themes that you would see in this pack. So just to go, we're gonna look into this pack in more detail. So coffee culture is one of the major themes conveyed by this pack. And I just wanted to sort of highlight how just one pack, and I've said this before, just one pack with the same design elements conveys multiple different themes. And leading semioticians wrote that the higher the number of connotative chains or meanings that are generated by the product's sexuality and the design elements on that product, the greater is the likelihood that it will appeal to consumers. So, again, there isn't one theme on one pack. There's multiple themes, and these are all work together and support each other to appeal to a certain consumer segment. So this is the M by Colts brand family. As you can see, the cream is one of them, but there's also the Cafe Mocha, Cafe Latte, and the white brands. And these are all sort of either are espresso-based beverages or are related to espresso, the espresso drinking culture. So the cream, again, is an ingredient or a topping that's often used on lattes. The white conveys that maybe that image of a lighter espresso beverage, something with a lot of milk, with a lot of cream. And then you have the cafe mocha and cafe latte. The blue on the cafe latte pack is not necessarily associated with cafe latte, but marketing literature shows that blue is often associated with a sense of mildness. So cafe latte has less espresso than a cafe mocha, and hence it can be perceived as a lighter product. And this is supported by the silver accent on top of the M by Colts cafe latte pack. And this is silver is often used on cigarette packages to connote mildness and relative strength. And again, the coffee culture theme is not just a flavor theme, it's a luxury theme, it's a youthful theme. This is an ad from the Your Convenience Manager Retailer magazine, and it shows how the pack or the brand is associated with a certain lifestyle culture that's luxurious. You see a young couple sitting on a patio in what looks like a European streetscape drinking espresso-based beverages. And there's also an ashtray on the table, which sort of conveys that association with smoking. And what's interesting is the way the cigar is wrapped also resembles sugar packs that are served in some of the cafes that here in North America, but mainly in Europe, sugar packs are served in those sort of longer sticks looking, like what looks like a stick. It contains sugar or sweetener in it. So this all kind of works together to convey that alcohol culture theme. Coffee culture theme, not alcohol. And this is another image showing that how these packs not only convey that coffee culture theme, but also flavor, something that appeals to younger consumers. So the way the pack is designed looks like the Wrigley 5 gum. The wrapper of the cigar resembles the wrapper of the individual gums in the Wrigley 5 gum pack. And someone suggested Starbucks as one of the themes, and this is very true. So if you look at these packs, the logos and the colors that are used resemble the logos of popular coffee shops like Second Cup and Coffee Culture. And Panther is just another brand that's available on the market that has coffee flavors. So another important theme was relative strength, and we saw this already in many of the brands. Almost in all the brands, there's that sort of distinction or comparison between the different packs that you can see how the design elements show some packs to be lighter or milder than others. So here we're looking at the Colts brand family. There is a gradient in different colors, and the strength of these colors also gradually changes as you move from the rum and wine to the sweet or black cherry. The rum and wine mild uses that silver accent, which is commonly used in tobacco products to convey a lighter or milder pack. The use of the descriptor mild, perhaps the use of the different flavors. So maybe whiskey is perceived to be lighter than rum and wine, and sweet is something that's sweeter and lighter than rum and wine and whiskey. And you can see that in the smooth taste pack on the bottom as well. The sweets look lighter than the smooth taste rum and wine. And here you see an interesting comparison between the design of the Colts packs and the Coca-Cola brand family. So just the way Coca-Cola designs their diet products and lighter products, Colts somehow took a similar approach to convey those relative strength meanings. So the rum and wine and Coca-Cola Red are similar in the way they're sort of presented, and then the mild uses that silver accent that looks like the Diet Coke pack, and then all the way to the right pack, the pack on the right side, the Colt Smooth Taste, which uses that black and red color theme. And just looking at the marketing literature of Coca-Cola Zero, the Coca-Cola Zero was something that that was a brand that was developed to appeal to the younger male product, consumer, sorry. So it has masculinity connotations, it's clean, it's modern, and it also has that connotation of lightness or mildness, just from the use of the word zero and also the silver accents that's used on the can. And similarly, Colt Smooth Taste took a similar approach in designing the pack. So sipping is another common way that cigar packs promote relative strength. So often you would see a pack with a tipped and non-tipped version. So it's exactly the same product, but just has a plastic tip on it. And even though that tip doesn't filter the product, but it appears to look like a, it appears like a filter. And here I have a quote from Philip Morris, which is one of the largest tobacco companies. The illusion of filtration is as important as the fact of filtration. So this shows that this is used intentionally to convey that meaning of a mildness and sort of a lighter product that could be healthier for you. Okay, so I'll hand it back to Sean, who will go through some of the conclusions and the policy implications of what we discussed.
Just before we do that, we'll just try to address maybe a couple of the questions that have been asked.
Sure, so two questions came in during that portion. So the first question is there any link between energy or alertness and the coffee flavoring, so similar to caffeinated energy drinks?
So I'll take a, this is Sean speaking, I'll take an initial stab at that. So I was just looking yesterday at the Casa Cabana, I think it's a manufacturer,
Casa Cabana.
They sell a cigar product. They also sell coffee beans as well. So if you go to their website, you can, you know, well, maybe not in Canada, but internationally, you can order, you can get your cigar and you can get your coffee as well. The kind of connotative chain that's created by a coffee bean pack obviously does, if you, a connotative chain is mean just kind of a meaning link to a meaning link to a leaning, to a meaning rather. And so when you have those coffee flavored packs, we talked about some of the connotative chains in terms of that it's an espresso type drink, which is a premium drink, which suggests a luxury product. Another connotative chain is that it's a coffee, you know, it's a coffee drink, espresso drink, which has caffeine in it, which may, again, is another connotation is that it may provoke or lead to alertness, like a caffeine fix type of thing. So there's a host of these connotative chains that supports that notion. I'll pass maybe the next question on to Mohanit.
Sure. So the other question is if you can comment on the sales or market share related to youth and young adults of these products.
I think Sean might have some of the most updated
data. So we don't have specific market share these individual brands. We do have prevalence data, so population data on the number of Ontarians of various age categories smoking cigars and or little cigars. And we will be there's two sources of that information: our annual strategy report, reports on little cigar prevalence, and a new report. This year's report will be released over the next few months. OTRU is putting out an update at the end of the month on flavored cigars and some of the legislation related to flavored cigars. So folks can look for that in the OTRU mailing if they are not on that distribution list. By all means, they can contact myself or OTRU to request being added to that.
So I think so. A question came in. This is sort of going back to the other question around energy drinks. So the question is, the link to cola products is clear. What about any link to energy drinks?
So from the analysis that we've done, we couldn't really establish a link to energy drinks. But if you look at, so recently we've been looking at some of the e-cigarettes products, and you can definitely see a link between those products and energy drinks, but not necessarily with cigars. Although we may see some innovations in the product in the future where some of these packs might be redesigned to look like energy drinks that are sort of gaining more popularity among youth and young adults. But at this point, I'm not sure if I saw anything that sort of presents a link or a clear link with energy drinks. Although some of the design elements might work to convey those similar meanings as the design elements are used on energy drinks, but the connection is not clear. Yes. Sean, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, just as Mohan said, we actually didn't explore that theme or that connotative chain. It may be there. We just didn't see it. I didn't attend to it. It would be interesting. If someone sees some of the design elements that kind of support that chain, it would be worth exploring. We do have an interest in looking at energy drinks and looking at the design elements of the energy drinks to see what messages are being used to promote energy drinks. And we've already know that healthiness, relative strength is there, and youthfulness, masculinity, a number are there, but we haven't systematically looked at those in any robust way. And Mahana can maybe take the next question here. Is there any connection between Colts and Coke or Wrigley's? And I am assuming that you mean at the corporate level, is there corporate connections?
We don't think there's a connection. At least we couldn't discover any connections. We usually look at those links when we look at a product like that and we see similarities. We try to see if there's a corporate connection between the two, but we don't think there is any. So the question is, any corporate connections, or do the designers just exploit the design level? I think it's more of the latter. So designers would exploit the design level. If you look at the marketing literature and design literature, often these popular products are used as case studies. So Coke Zero is an example. If you just do a little bit of research on Coke Zero, you would see a lot of documents, a lot of papers that talked about the design of that can. And so within the design literature, those sort of best practices are being used for other products, including cigars and cigarettes.
Just maybe to add to this, we showed earlier the Wrigley gum pack, the black packs, and Mohanit alluded to this, but that's, we found some gray material on that pack. It was done by a marketing company, and it was just an assessment of what the gum pack is marketed to, what segments the gum pack is marketed towards, and it gets into some of the design elements. So that gray literature marketing document on Wrigley's gum talked about how black is a color that is directed towards or appealing towards youth. I'm not sure if there's a gender component to that, and there's another kind of clean, crisp, uncluttered pack, and who that appealed to, and it was youth and young adults, and we see with you know, corresponding cigarette packs and corresponding cigar packs, they're finding similar things. And so undoubtedly, I mean, the tobacco companies have, you know, the most, you know, have huge budgets, so they're buying the best designers. They're actually hiring semioticians, and we know this because we've talked to people that have been hired by the industry. They're hiring semioticians to analyze their packs, analyze the packs of their competitors, and just to look at what segments or what the meaning, what meanings are being conveyed by the pack, what functions they're serving. And as I mentioned before, every single thing you see in a pack is there for a reason, and they're studying them semiotically.
Sorry. Yeah. So just responding to Grace's comments about that Coke wouldn't like that link between the Coke products and cigar products because they're working hard to create a positive corporate image, and that connection to tobacco wouldn't help them. I think, so even though Coke has trademarked a lot of the design elements on their packs, if you look at the Cold Smooth Taste pack, it looks like Coke Zero, but it just doesn't necessarily use those design elements that are trademarked by Coke Zero. So in a way, Coca-Cola wouldn't be able to sort of do anything about that link, but that link is there. And at the same time, the cigar products often trademark, so if you look at the trademark registry in Canada, you would see that a lot of the design elements from the Swoosh on the Smooth Taste Colt brand, I think the way the design of the Colt and that font style is also trademarked. So that's another sort of challenge when it comes to looking at these packs and looking at these links.
Okay, so there's just two other questions. So let's take these two questions, and then we're going to move on to the last portion of the presentation. But we do encourage you, if you continue to have questions, to keep typing in the chat box. So I think the question from Sean is quite an easy one. So she's just wondering if parts of this presentation will be available for the youth or ambassadors to use.
Right. Yeah, folks can contact me, and we can work something out to share some of this. As I mentioned, there is a full report written on cigar. We also have a number of other reports related to the Chatterbox study, which will soon be available on our website. So when these are available, we can circulate to this group.
And then the last question, someone is just wondering if you have any information on some of these smaller companies that are a bit trickier to find.
Yeah. I know of information. I've looked at it. I don't have it written down in any kind of a report. These are fairly big companies. Some of them are fairly big companies, rather. I can't, you know, off the top of my head, I'm not 100% sure, but I think, like, one of the companies, American Tobacco, has, like, you know, 80% of the market share or something like that. What we don't know, so we can, you know, we know the kind of market, we can kind of get at the market share of cigars and little cigars and the companies. It's a little bit harder for us to get at the market share of individual brands. It is available. It's very expensive to get. Nielsen, for instance, would collect that information. There's another couple of other data sources. When you look at the YCM ads, they sometimes say, like, oh, it's the leading brand, so you can kind of get a sense that it's, you know, the leading brand, and they cite kind of a reference, but it's not firm data. It's out there, but I don't have it. Okay, so this is Sean speaking. We're going to just transition to some conclusions for this study, and then I do have a couple of other slides on part of our website, which is devoted to Chatterbox Project, and I've got a couple of slides there as well, so that actually may address some of the questions that were just asked. So just moving forward then on the conclusions, and this first slide really speaks to the kind of transition from kind of 2009 to 2010 when the federal and provincial acts or regulations came into effect. As we saw in some of the earlier slides, that, you know, the product was really relaunched from a cigarillo into a cigar. So, the filter tips, the filtration was taken off. They were increased in weight to meet the regulatory classification of what is or what is not a cigarillo, what is or what is not a cigar. So they were So, you know, the end result, they modified their product, they refreshed their brands. It was called Prime Time, now it's called Prime Time Plus, or it was Bullseye, now it's called Bullseye Extra. I mean, there's all kinds of connotations around that. But at the end of the day, you know, flavors are available, and you can still buy, you know, single sticks or packs of six, pack of eight. So the legislation really came into effect with a couple of intended purposes. One was to eliminate youth access, and one was to make the products less attractive. The products are just as attractive as they were before, and they're more or less they're just as accessible. In terms of accessibility, one of the things was, well, if you make the pack, you know, if you make the pack only available in sizes of 20, you got to spend a fair amount of money to get it. Because they did the product modifications, they don't have to sell them packs of 20. They can still sell singles and stuff. So in terms of price elasticity, particularly amongst youth, it wasn't a big deterrent, right? Because the industry, as they always do, or always seem to do, they changed a few things, tweaked a few things, and they modified their behavior to be in compliance with the law. Policy options. So, I mean, what this program of research suggests is that, you know, and the stated objective of some of these regulations were to eliminate youth access to these products and to make them not attractive. And that was done to really, you know, let's get rid of the flavors in little cigars and cigarettes. It didn't work. So one of the policy options really is just to prohibit flavors for all tobacco products with no exceptions. And I say all tobacco products because, you know, if they would have changed the weight from, you know, right now, if you're under 1.4 grams, you can't have flavors. So what they did is they changed it to 1.4. Well, if they would have picked 1.7 or 1.8, 1.9, the industry still would have got around it. You know, so they'll make a new product to get what they want. So if you ban flavors, you ban flavors, you ban all these kind of the wiggle room that the industry might have. This second one here, to prevent relaunching of slightly modified products which do circumvent or can circumvent regulations, prohibit the introduction of new products. So just put a prohibition on products. So you know, you got your little cigars, or you have your cigars now. You have your big stogies. You have your cigarettes. Let's put a prohibition on all introductions of new products. That would solve the problem as well, or at least speak to addressing part of the problem. Some of the other, so that was in, with respect to kind of the structural elements of the cigarette or the cigar rather. What we've tried to demonstrate here is the pack really is imbued with all kinds of lifestyle messages and relative strength, right? It's all these design elements and you know, governments can go and cherry pick design elements and say, well, you can have this design element like light and mild cigarettes and say we've got to ban light and mild because it's conveying false or misleading information. What we're showing is that, you know, the packs are so interlinked, or the design elements of the packs are just, they're all working together. The color of the pack connotes flavor and candy. The brand, you know, the line extension name, cherry, peach, wine, and rum, they're all connoting flavor and healthfulness and relative strength, right? So, you know, it's all out there. There's all these different themes. So, you know, this slide here is, you know, the results of this marketing promotion, right? As I mentioned, it makes an attractive product, establishes a brand identity of the pack, and it creates a wide appeal to a number of segments, and we've discussed those segments. And, you know, the policy option prohibits specific elements. I just mentioned, you know, that doesn't always work, right? They seem to find a way around these things. And the option that I think a number of folks in the tobacco community are promoting is that, you know, to implement plain and standardized packaging is really the way to go. So you can take this opportunity to ask a few additional questions. We do have a few other slides coming up on our website. We have a whole site, the Chatterbox Glossary, which I'm going to introduce to folks after some questions here.
Okay, so the first question is, what can local public health units do to address the continuing of flavored cigars in the market?
Okay, so what can local public health units do to address this? Well, I think there's a number of things that can be done. Right? Not everybody, but one is knowledge, right? One is knowledge with respect to key individuals, whether it's tobacco control managers, anybody kind of above you. They may not be aware of some of these issues, right? They may not be aware that there's a, you know, some people may believe that, well, the issue's solved, right? The industry really can't advertise. There's no advertising allowed in Canada. Not 100% the case, right? The PAC is really that last avenue of promotion. So if we can get the message out that, you know, the PAC really, whether it's a cigarette pack, a cigar pack, or even, you know, a tin, a smokeless tin, that the industry is using these, you know, packaging to promote to lifestyle segments. So, you know, conveying this to people above you, the decision makers, from an education point of view, from an advocacy point of view, would be one recommendation. For folks that didn't see this presentation, you know, you can send them the link. You can say, look, this is a, if you believe so, if, you know, this is a presentation you should see. You can, you know, even potentially invite us down to speak to some of your local groups. We are presenting at the national conference. It's only going to be about a 10 or 15 minute presentation. But if you're at the national conference, or if one of your colleagues at the national conference had missed this, by all means, send them down to our presentation at the national conference. You know, there's probably a whole host of other things I could say about how to engage people about this, but maybe we need a meeting. Maybe we need another teleconference to follow up from this and say, okay, well, here's the presentation. What do we do about it? Right.
So the last question came in, and then there was some kind of discussion back and forth on the board. So the original question is, how is this being tied into the Freeze the Industry campaign? So Phil has commented that this campaign will work to include this evidence in their advocacy work.
Right.
So I'm wondering if you want to comment on from your perspective on this piece.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, one thing that OTRU can do is provide an evidence base for you know, education, advocacy, you know, program, policy. So, you know, we're happy to disseminate the information that we have. We're happy to talk to folks that we have so that they can get the evidence in front of them and you know, and some people other than OTRU are positioned, you know, people are positioned better than us to, you know, potentially run programs, talk to decision makers. So, but we can facilitate the evidence, right? We can facilitate the evidence base for some of those discussions, for some of that educational material. So by all means, you know, we're happy to connect with individuals.
I think that's all the questions for now. So again, we're going to just have another small piece and then take some additional questions at the end. So as you think of questions, please continue to put them in the chat box.
Yeah, so I invite folks to take a look at the OTRU website, the Chatterbox Glossary, and there will be a link here, but it's basically chatterbox.otru.org. So this site is focused on cigarettes at this point, but it's a very similar, the material is very similar to what was presented here. We have, you see the line across the top, the menus, home approach, physical elements, textual elements, and visual elements. If you drill down to any one of those boxes, it lists the design elements. And here are some of the examples that we showed earlier, some of the design elements. And as we saw in the presentation today, and it's what you'll see on the website, we have a description of each of these, or most of these, if not more, of these design elements on this site. And here's an example of brand family name. So we, you know, we kind of define the, you know, the brand family name, give it some context to what it is, which is kind of the denotative meaning, the importance of it to, from a marketing promotional point of view. We give some of the connotations of brand families used in the domestic market. So, for instance, it may connote luxury, it may connote gender, and we do this for each of the design elements. So if we look at these design elements, we give kind of a definition of what it is, and then which is kind of the denotative meaning of it. We provide kind of what some of the social functions it serves on the package. We give some examples with some images of these, and we even present some of the connotative chains of the design element. So, for instance, a monogram is used by a lot of fashion houses. It's also used by the industry. So M by Colts, M is a monogram, right? So we make that connection that it's a connotative chain for fashion, for luxury, and a few others. And we do that for a lot of these elements here. Here's the site, and this is live. Well, in the near future, we'll be putting some reports on this site, and I say we can send a link around to the people that called in today when those reports are up on the OTRU site, and specifically on this subsite of OTRU. So just a last couple of slides to acknowledge some people with respect to the report which this presentation was based on, Packaging Cigar Surveillance of Current Trends, the Chatterbox Project. The authors are listed here. And as I mentioned earlier, that this report is really phase two, in the final phase at this point, because funding is done. It's part of a larger Chatterbox project, which has looked at the domestic market of cigarettes. We can see the investigators here on the left-hand side. We also looked at, in the first phase, we looked at the domestic market. In the second phase, we looked at cigars, we looked at the international market. We did focus groups on youth and young adults, which we have a report on as well, and what their views were on packaging. And this whole research was funded by Health Canada, so we want to acknowledge the funding that they provided. It's not an SFO project. And I believe that is it. So happy to entertain any last question. I'm not sure if we have any or if any are unanswered.
I think we've answered all the questions that have come through. So I'll just give you a minute if you have any last questions, to please use this chat box. And again, I'm sure that our presenters today would be more than happy if you wanted to connect with them individually. If you have additional questions that maybe will pop into your mind over the next few days or as you sort of continue work in this area.
I should just mention that my schedule is really hectic the next 2 weeks, just so folks know. So I will respond to everybody. It may be a little bit slower than normal. It's quite a hectic time for me the next 2 weeks. So.
Okay, I think we'll see. We have maybe one more question. It might just be a comment. But as Denise types in, I'd like to thank both our presenters today. It's so refreshing to have a presentation that has next to no text. It's always really interesting sort of be able to listen to a webinar. It's obvious that you have a lot of content expertise in this area to be able to sort of speak to an entire slide deck of visuals, so that's great. I just wanted to remind everybody that this webinar, you'll be receiving an email later today. It will contain a link to an evaluation survey. So if everyone could please take a few minutes to complete this evaluation, we'd really appreciate it. We do use the input that you provide in these evaluations for future planning, so that would be great. Yes, Phil, I can certainly send that out. So no problem, I can send out the contact information for the presenters today, or we can add it to the slide deck that's posted on the CBCC website. And also as a reminder, a copy of the webinar recording will also be made available to you, and details will be provided in this follow-up email. So thank you very much. Great webinar. And if you have questions, please feel free to directly contact our presenters today. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.